On the morning of September 2, 2003, the Johnson household was quiet. Diane and Alan Johnson, well known in their community, were settling into their routine. Their 16-year-old daughter, Sarah, had been restless. She felt trapped in a life that never seemed to live up to her expectations. That day, everything changed. Just after dawn, the peaceful suburb was shaken by the sound of gunshots. Neighbors rushed to their windows, startled and confused. The once serene neighborhood was now a scene of chaos. Sarah was the first to be found, standing outside her home, her face pale and eyes wide, as she watched the unfolding tragedy. Detective Reynolds arrived shortly after the first responders. He took in the scene, noting the broken glass and the eerily calm girl at the center of it all. The Johnsons' bedroom door was ajar, and within lay the lifeless bodies of Diane and Alan. The sight was horrifying. Reynolds felt the weight of the moment, a family destroyed in seconds. As he began his investigation, he couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. Sarah's demeanor was unsettling. She answered questions but avoided eye contact. Her voice trembled but never broke. When asked about her parents, she spoke in a detached tone, as if recounting a story rather than her own life. It raised red flags. In the following days, the community struggled to comprehend the loss. Sarah had always been seen as a good girl, an honor student with a bright future. Now, she was at the center of a tragic story that no one could believe. Rumors spread like wildfire, fueled by the media's insatiable appetite for sensationalism. Detective Reynolds worked tirelessly, digging into Sarah's past. He uncovered details about her relationships, her friendships, and her struggles with the pressures of adolescence. Each piece of evidence painted a more complicated picture. Inconsistent statements, a history of rebellion, and then there was the damning physical evidence, gunshot residue found on her clothes, and the murder weapon, a gun, hidden in her room. By September 5th, the unthinkable happened. Sarah Johnson was arrested for the murder of her parents. The news hit the community hard. Friends and neighbors felt betrayed, unable to reconcile the girl they knew with the actions she was accused of. Vigil candles flickered outside the Johnson home, a mix of grief and disbelief hanging in the air. As the trial loomed, the media frenzy intensified. Headlines blared accusations, often before the facts were established. Sarah's life was laid bare for all to see, scrutinized under the harsh light of public opinion. She became a symbol of a crime that shattered lives, a face for the tragedy that echoed through the community. But as the courtroom filled with spectators, many still held on to hope. Was this a case of a troubled teen pushed too far, or was Sarah the monster they feared? The tension grew, and Detective Reynolds knew the truth would soon come out, whether anyone was ready for it or not. As the trial date approached, Sarah's world continued to spiral. Inside her holding cell, she replayed the events of that morning on repeat. Why had it come to this? The faces of her parents haunted her dreams. The screams and chaos echoed, leaving her feeling trapped within her own mind, a prisoner of her past. Sarah's attorney, Lisa Harper, visited her regularly. Lisa was determined to present a defense, but she struggled to get through to Sarah. In their meetings, Sarah often sat with her arms crossed, staring blankly at the floor. The truth felt elusive, buried under layers of confusion and fear. "You need to talk to me about what happened," Lisa urged one day. "Your story matters." Sarah finally looked up, her eyes distant yet piercing. "What difference does it make? No one will believe me." Lisa felt a chill. "We will find a way to make them see the truth, but we need your side of it, please." Days turned into weeks, and the trial began on September 15, 2003. The courtroom buzzed with anticipation as the community packed the benches, eager for insight into the tragedy. News reporters filled the back, cameras flashing. Sarah sat at the defendant's table, looking smaller than ever in her orange jumpsuit. Detective Reynolds took the stand first. He recounted the morning of the crime, the broken glass, and the frantic calls that flooded in from concerned neighbors. Every eye was focused on him, hanging on his every word. When he mentioned the gunshot residue, gasps rippled through the courtroom. "Are you suggesting Sarah could have shot her parents?" a reporter shouted, the question breaking through the tense silence. The detective nodded. "We found evidence that raised serious questions." Sarah's heart raced as she listened to the details unfold. Each piece of testimony painted her as a monster, a girl who betrayed those who loved her most. She closed her eyes to block it out, focusing instead on the voices of her parents. The echo of their laughter, their love, was still fresh in her memory. The prosecution presented a strong case. They painted a picture of a troubled teen overwhelmed by parental pressure, using their testimonies to illustrate Sarah's rebellious streak. Friends and teachers recounted her recent outbursts, framing her as volatile. But the defense tried to shift the focus. Lisa chose to call Sarah to the stand. The moment was a gamble, but Lisa believed the jury needed to hear Sarah's voice. Nervous but determined, Sarah took a deep breath and stepped forward. "Do you understand the charges against you?" Lisa began gently. Sarah nodded slowly. "I didn't do it. I would never hurt them. But you were found with gunshot residue," Lisa pressed. "What do you say to that?" "I don't know how it got there," Sarah's voice wavered. "But I didn't pull the trigger. I loved my parents." The courtroom fell silent, absorbing the emotion in Sarah's words. She described her life with them, the late-night talks, their support during tough times at school. Her eyes sparkled with unshed tears as she recalled her mother's warm hugs and her father's advice. "I wanted to escape," she said, her voice rising, "but I would never want to hurt them. Never." As her testimony continued, Sarah felt a shift. For a moment, the weight on her chest lifted. She saw understanding in the eyes of some jurors. Perhaps they could see her as more than just a suspect. Perhaps they could see her pain. After her testimony, the defense called in a psychologist who specialized in adolescent behavior. Dr. Myers explained the complexities of teenage emotion and the impact of familial pressure. "Teenagers experience emotions intensely, often struggling to express them appropriately," she articulated. "Sarah was under significant stress, but that doesn't mean she is capable of murder." The prosecution countered fiercely, arming themselves with data about violent behavior. They highlighted a few instances where Sarah had acted out, suggesting a predisposition toward violence. But Lisa stood firm, insisting that these actions were cries for help, not signs of a killer. The midpoint of the trial brought a surprising twist. An unexpected witness emerged, a friend of Sarah's named Emily. In private, she had seen Sarah just days before the shooting. Emily had recalled a conversation that now took on new significance. "I asked her if she was okay," Emily testified. "She said she felt trapped, like she could never do anything right. She was scared of what her parents expected of her." The jury listened intently. Perhaps there was more to Sarah's story than they had yet considered. With this new perspective, the trial took on a new energy. The defense capitalized on the moment, weaving a narrative of desperation rather than malice. But with this progress came tension. The prosecution was relentless. They brought in forensic experts to dissect the evidence further. Each day, it felt like the walls were closing in on Sarah. On September 30th, the trial entered its final phase. The courtroom was packed. Everyone was on edge, waiting for the closing arguments. The tension hung thick in the air, palpable enough to cut. The prosecution presented a damning summary of the evidence, painting Sarah not only as the murderer, but also as a willing participant in a horrific act. They highlighted her supposed motive, rebellion against her parents' control. But Lisa's closing was passionate. She pointed to Sarah, emphasizing her youth and vulnerability. "This is a girl, still a child, facing an unimaginable situation," she implored. "She didn't choose to be here. She didn't choose this tragedy." As the jury filed out to deliberate, a hush fell over the courtroom. Everyone held their breath, hoping for a resolution that would finally provide clarity. In the dim light of the cell, Sarah stared at the wall, feeling the weight of anticipation. What if they didn't believe her? What if she lost everything? Hours passed like days. Finally, the jury returned, their expressions unreadable. The foreman stood, voice shaking. "We find the defendant." The words hung in the air. Sarah's heart raced as she braced for impact. When the verdict was announced, shock and disbelief coursed through the courtroom. Gasps echoed off the walls, and Sarah's world shattered all over again. In the aftermath, the questions lingered. Was she truly guilty, or had the system failed to protect a scared girl? The community was left to grapple with their own feelings of betrayal and confusion. As Sarah was led away, she glanced back at the sea of faces. Some looked at her with anger, others with pity, but in that fleeting moment, she felt a flicker of hope. One day, perhaps, she would find a way to tell her side of the story, to reclaim her voice. The whispers of the trial faded into the distance, but for Sarah Johnson, the fight was far from over. The foreman's voice echoed through the courtroom. "We find the defendant not guilty." Sarah felt the ground shift beneath her. A whirlwind of emotions surged through her, relief, disbelief, and an overwhelming sense of liberation. The murmur of shock washed over the audience, but in that moment, all she could hear was the pounding of her own heart. As she stood there, a wave of warmth enveloped her. The tears she had held back for so long began to spill over. She hadn't killed her parents. Now she had a chance to reclaim her life. The courtroom buzzed with whispers, but Sarah focused on the faces of her attorney, Lisa, and Emily, who had spoken out for her. They beamed with joy, their faith in her vindicated. Walks of justice often come with heavy burdens. For Sarah, the trial had not only exposed her to the world, but had also uncovered memories she had buried. The image of that tragic morning would never fully fade. Yet now she had the opportunity to start anew. The days following the trial were a blur. Reporters swarmed the Johnson home, eager for a story. Sarah, surrounded by a tight-knit group of supporters, found solace in their presence. Her community had been shaken, but many still embraced her. They believed in her innocence, and they were there to help her heal. Sarah, who had always loved art, turned to drawing as a way to express her tumultuous emotions. She filled sketchbooks with images that reflected her pain and hope, allowing her feelings to spill onto the pages. Each stroke of the pencil felt like a release. Art became her therapy, each illustration a step toward understanding herself and processing the nightmare she had endured. With the support of her friends and newfound mentors, Sarah enrolled in an art program at a local community center. It was a fresh start, a safe space where she could explore her creativity free from judgment. Here, she met others who had faced their own struggles, and together they formed a bond, sharing stories that mirrored their hardships. Months passed, and as the seasons changed, so did Sarah. She began to find joy in small things, mornings spent with paintbrushes, evenings filled with laughter with friends. She took therapy seriously, slowly unraveling the complexities of her emotions. Yet the shadow of her past loomed large. There was a day she couldn't ignore it. On the anniversary of her parents' death, she stood quietly in her room, surrounded by her sketches. Memories flooded her mind. She could still picture her mother's smile, her father's laughter. Taking a deep breath, Sarah decided to hold a small gathering with her closest friends. She wanted the day to honor her parents, to remember the love they had given. She created a wall of art in their memory, each piece a tribute to their life together, their joy, their warmth. On that day, people came together in her backyard, bringing candles and sharing fond memories of Diane and Alan. They laughed and cried, and for the first time, Sarah felt a sense of closure. She released balloons into the sky, each representing a story she wanted to tell her parents. "I love you," she whispered into the cool evening air. In the following weeks, Sarah's art began to gain attention in the community. A local gallery invited her to showcase her work. The opening was a testament to her journey, filled with friends, family, and supportive neighbors. Each piece told a story, intertwined with shadows of her past and glimmers of hope. For the first time, Sarah felt like she was in control. But the world outside her small circle still hadn't forgotten the tragedy that had unfolded. The media hadn't let up. The story of the Johnson family remained a topic of conversation, and Sarah's past often overshadowed her progress. Yet, she refused to let it define her. Determined to reclaim her narrative, Sarah began writing a memoir. She pored over her memories, some painful, others joyful, and crafted her story with raw honesty. It was cathartic, a way to confront her demons and use her voice to find healing. When her book was finally published, it sparked a renewed interest in her journey. Readers were captivated by the honest portrayal of a girl who faced unimaginable grief and struggled to rediscover herself. Sarah received letters from people sharing their own stories, thanking her for her bravery and reminding her she was not alone. Through her writing, she built a platform where she spoke about mental health and the challenges teens face. With every speech, she wielded her story as a tool for change, encouraging discussions about family dynamics, trauma, and the importance of understanding one another. As she entered her early 20s, Sarah became an advocate for mental health in teenagers. She spoke openly about her experience and the importance of seeking help. With each appearance, she felt lighter, as if peeling away layers of pain. Every time she shared her story, it became clearer that what once threatened to destroy her was now the fire igniting her purpose. Years later, sitting in her studio, filled with colorful canvases and scattered sketches, Sarah reflected on her journey. She had transformed from the girl at the center of a horrific tragedy into a woman committed to making a difference for others. The shadows of her past lingered, but their grip no longer suffocated her spirit. On a bright afternoon, she received an unexpected letter from a local high school. They wanted to honor her story by creating a scholarship in her name for students interested in the arts. They believed in the power of creativity to heal, just as Sarah had experienced. Tears of gratitude filled her eyes. This was not about fame or notoriety. It was about giving back to the community that had once wrapped her in warmth during her darkest days. This moment, this acknowledgement of her journey, felt like the ultimate victory. With renewed energy, Sarah spoke at the inaugural ceremony. Her heart swelled with pride as she recognized the resilience in every student, each a reminder of the power of second chances. As she looked out over the crowd, she felt her parents' presence beside her. She could almost hear them cheering her on. In that moment, Sarah understood that while her path had been riddled with heartache, it had also led her to find purpose. For the first time, she felt truly free. The whispers of the past no longer haunted her. Instead, they fueled her passion to help others. And though life would never be the same, she knew it was hers to embrace. In the years to come, Sarah would continue to grow, her story evolving, but she remained committed to her truth. Through art and advocacy, she would weave together the fabric of her past into a future filled with hope, healing, and the relentless pursuit of peace.